Hi, I'm Thomas Cook. Welcome to Making It and what that means to me.
Welcome to episode 3 with Making It with Thomas Cook. Man, Thomas, I gotta tell you, the first two episodes were straight fire. And this one, I want to pick up off of what you said towards the end of episode 2, where you were singing a eulogy at St. Patrick's Cathedral for a dear friend. St. Patrick's Cathedral, for our listeners that live in different parts of the world other than New York City, is like the quintessential, unbelievably powerful Catholic church in New York City's Manhattan Fifth Avenue. It is unbelievable. To be able to sing there is one of the highest honors ever. So I want to kind of back up a little bit and learn more about your singing career. I know that you spent a lot of time living a very famous lifestyle, both between Mexico and different parts of the United States of America. For those people that are listening that want to learn more about your singing career, you have an incredible album, you've toured, you've sung for kings and queens and the President of the United States. Tell us a little bit about that from the success side, but then also take us into a little bit more of the creative side of how you wrote songs.
I love it.
Why you wrote them.
See, you inspire me. I can't help myself by talking when you start talking.
That's great.
And if you don't stop, I'll forget. That's what
Go.
Happens. In high school, I told my choir teacher, her name was Joan Cogshell. Joan, if you listen, I love you, baby. She played this orange piano. She was crazy. Loved her. She wore crazy clothes. I was shy, very thin. Thinner than I am now, of course. She would play music, get everybody inspired. And I remember always being shy, and I was kind of shy back then. I always wanted to sing. I played the trumpet. I kind of faked it because I was really bad at the trumpet. But I used to always love the choir, and I always wanted to sing, but wouldn't go there. And let me back up. It's really important I say this to everyone. When I was in first grade, I was shy, and I didn't sing. I didn't do any of that because I had a lisp. And that was something I was ashamed of. I was afraid. So I'd do all the tests of Thimble Thally went to the Thethor, and I had a lisp. I was cute. Everybody thought I was a cute kid with a lisp. But my parents, God bless them, got me speech lessons, and I was able to work on that and fix it. As I got older, talking and communicating and doing it without the lisp and having that communication skill, wow, it gave me confidence. I wasn't ashamed or afraid brought me to that place. So now all of a sudden, I'm in sixth grade. And I said to my dad, God bless him, he's in heaven now. I said, Dad, you know, I don't fit in well. I said, I really don't belong here in sixth grade. I said, all these kids are saying things and doing things. They're picking on girls, pulling the bra straps. It just didn't feel good. So I said, Dad, something's wrong. And you know what? God bless him. He listened to me. And he went to the principal and asked the principal to give me some tests and to look at me. Oh, I forgot to tell you. In the first episode, I had said in first grade with the lisp, I had a teacher that sent me to the reading corner all the time because I talked too much. But she also really didn't like me. And she told my parents that, my parent teachers. And my mother was furious. And one day a kid lit a fire in the bathroom. I was in the bathroom, but when I came back, there was an alarm and all that stuff. And so I told the teacher that it was Billy because it was a fire alarm and whatever. She called me a tattletale. And she put a paper tail on my ass and made me walk around school with a paper tail on my ass. Told my mother and father, they were furious. That was an experience I probably was scarred forever because it made me realize there are going to be people in the world that just don't like you. And that's okay. And I learned that at first grade. And that was okay. So she said to my parents that I must be immature and this and that. And they thought I should stay back a year. Then when I was in sixth grade, my dad talked to the principal. And they said, you know what? He has a pretty big IQ. And the reason he's talking all the time is because he's bored. So I went from sixth grade to ninth grade. Go figure. I think her name was Keller or Heller. I think she's dead now. But if she was still alive, I hope she knew that I skipped 2 years of school, ended up traveling the world, presidents, kings, queens, I know, being awarded by the President of the United States. But you know what? She helped me. She gave me the confidence of not being afraid or knowing that there'll be people out there that don't like you. Mrs. Keller, that was her name. I know we all have a Mrs. Keller in our life. I know everybody does. And we're not alone on that. So when I finally got to school and now now I went from, you know, I skipped junior high school, so I never went to junior high school. Sandwich High School, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I hope you're listening out there. It was funny because my first song, I looked at Mrs. Cogshaw, I said, I really want to sing. I said, but I've always wanted to sing like a black gospel choir. I love how loud they are. I love how passionate they were, and they really sang from the soul. So that was my dream. I didn't know how to play piano, but I did know how to play heart and soul on the piano, and I slowed it down, and I wrote a song called Colors of the World. And I wrote it for a blind man because my dad was a caterer, and we went to a catering job once, and I saw a black man sitting at a table blind, and he was feeling for the silverware and the cups and sauces and everything else, and it dawned on me that I'd never seen a blind person in my life. So I wrote this song called Colors of the World. And that was my first song. And that was the first time I ever sang at school. I got a standing ovation, and I knew it then. I knew. I was just overwhelmed. I was blown away. The next day in the hallways of school, everyone was so kind to me. So nice. So I knew then I'd found a passion that I loved. And it was kind of funny. Everyone would always say, oh, you're going to be a really famous singer one day. But my goal wasn't about being a famous singer. I was able to take the singing and realize that you use that. Open the universe with music. It allows you to have friends. I had friends that played football. I had the geeks. I had the mechanics. I had the nerds. I was friendly with all of them because my music opened the doors to all of those people. And I, again, whether you believe in God or a higher being or whatever, I always believed that the universe and my God was watching over me. And I believe that that's something, if you listen to that inner spirit, that inner voice, and you go with it, it's going to be real fun. It's going to be a great, great chapter in your life.
How did you go from singing and getting a standing ovation in high school to all of the acclaimed spots that you were able to sing in Mexico?
So when I was
a president, take us through that journey a little bit.
Oh my God, that's going to be like five episodes, Brian.
Well, take us through the three most important moments of your singing career.
When I was 13, I was sitting at the breakfast table, and back then they had missing children on milk cartons. And you would see these missing children's faces on milk cartons. And how frightening. You're going to the school bus, and you see kids being kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Ma, this is not right. I wrote a song, and we'll have to find it. It's called Bring Them Back. Just bring them back again in our lives when it never seems that a day goes by that we want to cry because there's no one home in that empty room where there used to be laughter and not gloom. So I wrote that song at 12. I sent that on a tape to Washington, D.C., to the National Center for Missing Children. Oh, God, I used to dream. And when I was a kid, I used to dream of traveling and singing, and I used to sing in my backyard and pretend that I was right there on the stage, and everything I visualized, it truly came true. So I really try to kick people in the pants, and I really try to tell them, you really can do it. You really can make it happen. I sent the song to Washington, was told by the National Center of Missing Children, got a letter. I was invited to Washington, D.C., to meet a woman by the name of Susan Davis. And she was the head PR company doing the National Center for Missing Children. If you're listening, Susan, love you, babe. And I kept in touch with her all those years. And we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have internet like that. I would write letters. I would call her on the phone every year, keep in touch. At 13, I kept in touch with her. So even back then, I was networking before I even knew what the word networking was. And that's what I try to instill in everybody I ever meet, to network, to meet people, to constantly remember faces, names, to get out there and to change the world and to allow people to meet people because that's what they remember forever. I got a letter back inviting me to Washington to meet her. And I met Susan. She was so sweet and submitted that to the National Center for Missing Children. So that was my first break, writing a song.
And then did you sing for them? Or
I gave them the song.
You gave them the song, and they distributed it.
I gave them the song.
Wow.
And that's what started my first relationship with Susan. And then after that, in high school, I sang a lot, did all the choirs, did all the regional and everything else. I will tell you, singing was awesome. The theater coach said, Thomas, don't ever be an actor. You'll never make it in acting. Which, that was kind of okay, because it inspired me to show him, you're so wrong. Because acting...
I'm hearing a theme here.
Acting is right? Acting is what we all do every day in our life for everything. We always have to act. Whether you're on stage or not is another deal. But to me, life is an act. And it's what you do with it. And it's how you do it. And hopefully you'll do it sincerely and be great at it. Then what happened is, after I sang, then I did Up With People, Travel the World and Up With People. That's a huge, another episode. I do want to go back and talk about Up With People because it changed my life. I was 18. I just graduated from high school. I had survived the car accident because it was my senior year. So I missed half of my senior year in the hospital because I had stitches still in my chest. But I had auditioned for Up With People my senior year. I got accepted. Mm. And Up With People, you travel all over the United States, North America. You stay with host families. And it was my dream. Nothing was going to stop me from that. So even in the hospital when I had stitches, I said, I'm going. I never told Up With People that I was in a car accident pronounced dead my senior year. I actually went to Up With People with stitches still in my chest, and they never knew. Wow. And my parents... God bless them, they let me go. Because they knew nothing was going to stop me to go to Up With People. And Up With People, we did Canada, and that's where I met so many amazing friends from all over the world in my cast. But I remember when I had left Up With People, then I went to Nashville. There's all these other things I need to fill you in on. But what happened for me with music that really changed my life was, I said to my dad, after Florida State, I went to Indiana, then Florida, but Indiana's Sigma Chi and all that, but I'm going to skip two. I went to Florida and I said, I'm not going to take a year off. I'm going to go to Florida. I'm going to sit on three different boards because Palm Beach, Florida has over 150 black tie charity events. Mm. And I want to write music for charities. I knew that I wanted to write songs for lupus, cancer, diabetes, HIV. I wanted to do all these songs that changed the world. And I figured, if I write songs for charities, then I'm automatically invited into everybody's home. And I meet them on their spiritual and on their personal level. It didn't matter that I wasn't going to be Barry Manilow or Donny Osmond back then. I wanted to do something that changed. And so the first time I sat on a board table, there's all these old people. And they're like, young man, why do you want to be on doing charity work? And I said, because one day I want to be like you. And that was the Gillettes, the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, there's all these people in Palm Beach. And they looked at me like, who is this young man? And this is before we had anything called internships.
Yep.
So I was already doing an internship before I knew what was called an internship. I constantly have never stopped trying to create my own opportunities. And if it wasn't there, then I went to find it. And if you can't get in the front door, go to the back door. If you can't go to the back door, go to a window. If you can't get in the window, go to the roof, go in the chimney. Go to the basement. There is a way inside. And I never, ever have stopped believing that. And I believe the car accident also gave me that inspiration of life and death, that there's always a way in. Always. Music started when I did all the charity music in Palm Beach and singing there. That's the first time I had met Prince Charles and sang at the Piaget Cup at the Polo Club. Those are my first opportunities of with Up With People, and then that letting me know that I just loved music. It was awesome. I know I went a little fast forward again, but I love when you ask me the questions because you really think about how I got there.
Yeah.
That was my first start with the music. And then from there, it kept on going and going, which we'll talk more about.
Great. The process of becoming a celebrity singer, Mr. Thomas Cook.
Open your eyes. See so much more in you. You always knew what you could do.
If you enjoyed that song and would like to support Thomas Cook's music and ongoing podcast, please visit iTunes where you can purchase Thomas's album, The Gift of Words and Music. For more information and to book Thomas as a speaker at your next event, please visit thomascookdc.com.